Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we have author and speaker, Casey Bell with us. Thank you so much, Casey, for joining us here on Recess Duty. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for joining me at this time, because I know our time zone differences make things a little bit difficult. And I appreciate it, and working with my schedule, which has not been easy this year. So I'm excited to chat.
No, thank you so much. As I was saying earlier, I've been a huge fan. I signed up for your Google courses to become a Google One educator, level two educator, and we're looking at now trainer. And I knew the finale of season two, I wanted it to be you, because you've given so much back. And so I wanted to chat with you. So Casey, for those of us who may not know you on Recess Duty, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Let's see. Where do I start? Have I had enough coffee yet? I have been an educator since 2003. So I am getting close to that 20-year mark. I have been on the ed tech side of things for most of that time. So I did teach middle school language arts, loved my kids, but I really found my niche in teaching teachers, and I really enjoy that side of things. And yes, I am a fellow dork, so I do love the techie side of things and talking about that, of course, Google and all of that. But I have done a variety of things under that umbrella. I have worked the district level. I've done some coaching. I have done some regional work. I've written courses for the state of Texas. I have taught online courses now for several years. I'm a big chunk of that, that 20 years is coming up, and I have taught face-to-face workshops. I've done speaking, I've done keynotes, I've written a few books, and really all in the name of just helping teachers. You know, that's really what I want to do. That's my goal. It's not easy, especially these days, being a teacher and trying to balance it all. And really, there was so much opportunity in the crisis that we have been through over the last couple of years to really take that step forward with technology and doing things that can help prepare kids for the future. And that's truly what I'm passionate about.
That's amazing. And I can totally see that amongst your Twitter feed and the course that you teach is about empowering students for lifelong success. And how do we use technology in our classrooms today for that, to pave that road for them? And that's a lot of what I find Shake Up Learning, your book and your blog and your website, to be about, is helping students find their way and helping students be able to learn for themselves. Can you tell us how Shake Up Learning got started?
Sure. So I just had a little bit of an anniversary. So January 14th of 2014 is when the blog started. And that was when Shake Up Learning was born, so to speak. And of course, I had no idea that it would become what it has become today. And honestly, one of the biggest reasons that I started that blog was because I was working towards my Google Certified Trainer certification. And at that point in time, they highly recommended that you have some kind of web presence. And I was like, I've got to do this. And I'm teaching teachers about how powerful it is to blog in the classroom, and I need to model that. And so that's why I started it. And of course, it has evolved a lot over the years. And that's really it. I was just driven to share. Of course, I thought, I don't have anything original. Nobody's going to listen to me when there's all these other amazing people out there. I'm just, you know, trying to put things together. And I felt like it's already being done. You know, I felt like my voice didn't matter. And in fact, my first blog post is called A Perfectionist with Paralysis, that I have since sort of updated, because before 2014, I had started and stopped a blog many times.
Yeah.
I had that whole thing, like, it's not perfect. It's got to have this. And on day one, when you have one post, it's not going to be, you know, this plethora of resources that, for sure, that you want it to be. And it takes time, and it takes some guts to put yourself out there. And of course, I was just hurt the first time somebody pointed out a typo, and you know, now I'm like, let's just get stuff out there.
Yeah.
People can get over it. So you get a thicker skin. But I will tell you that I think that the educator community is one of the most gracious communities out there in terms of supporting each other when you do things like that. And that was a pleasant surprise that it wasn't really people being critical or you don't know what you're talking about. You need to shut up or none of that happened. People were just supportive and like, give me more and liked it. And so it just took off from there.
Wow. What an amazing origin story. And I agree because I feel like a lot of people out there start a blog, stop a blog, start a blog. I know I'm one of them. Oh my goodness. I have had a blog for 3 years now and I can never get into it. Writing is just not my strongest suit, but having conversations with people is something that I truly enjoy. So my friend Jason Reagan was like, why don't you start a podcast? And for like 6 months, he pushed me on this. And I have done more podcasting than I ever did with blogging. Because I just find so much more fun and it's more interesting to me.
Absolutely. And that's true for a lot of people. You know, podcasting has an interesting way of connecting people together. Of course, my first podcast was doing the Google Teacher podcast with Matt Miller, and we learned a lot through that. And really, a lot of unexpected things, like how people connect with your voice and feel like they know you on a deeper level than when they're just reading text on the screen. But also, I was an English teacher, so writing is one of my things. I do like it, don't always have time to do it. I can talk faster than I type, like most people. So a podcast is a bit easier. Yeah. You know, it really does. And because of all the tools we have now, creating a podcast is not near as difficult as it was when I did my first one with my middle school class in 2005 or six. Yeah.
Sure.
A lot of work.
I cannot imagine what that would have been like as having started this one in the last 2-3 months. Thank goodness for Anchor and all of its algorithms that make it so easy just to like blast it out to all the major platforms. Because if I had to upload it to every single platform, I don't think I would be nearly as successful as or consistent. I think consistent is the key word.
Yeah. And that's what it is. You know, like anytime anyone ever asks me, okay, I want to start a blog or I want to start a podcast. I'm like, yeah, you just need to commit, whether it's once a month or it's once a week or whatever it is. And don't overcommit yourself. You know, one of the things that Matt and I had discussed when we first started, especially because there weren't a lot of podcasts in the ed tech space at that point. And can we talk about where to click when we're not doing a video, you know, that sort of conundrum of, will people always understand what we're talking about? And we both knew video takes so much more time to produce and to edit. And so we were just going to go with it. Of course, we're trying to talk about good pedagogy, which you can have conversations and things like that too. And then if people need to go click around, they can always go do that later. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of power in audio. It's not for everyone, as it's not for every student. You know, podcasting is a powerful tool for learning. And I've learned so much from listening to podcasts too. So, but it's really been fun. And it's funny how people come up to me now when they meet me face to face for the first time and they're like, I know your voice. You go on my run with me every day. Or even how their kids like know my voice. And how your kids are listening in the back seat, you know, while you listen to the podcast. And again, it's just kind of an interesting personal connection that even when you haven't met someone, you understand them on a different level.
It's so interesting you say that because I have a very similar story. I had a colleague in Kuwait and then we separated for 5-6 years, but I taught her daughter and she was listening to the podcast and her daughter, who's now in middle school, came running into the room being like, is that Mr. Levi? Is he here? And she said, no, that's his podcast. And she's like, oh my goodness, I thought he was in the room. I was like, oh my goodness, that was such a touching moment.
And that's so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to them because I know they'll be listening. So for somebody who's on so many different types of learning, you've got written, you've got audio, you've got visual, where do you see the most learning happening for your teachers right now?
Well, honestly, I can tell you there's a huge drop off happening over the last year. I don't know if you're seeing that too, but because of burnout, teachers are dying right now and they're leaving in a mass exodus, yep, which just breaks my heart. To say what's working right now is really difficult. And I think as a content creator, it's really difficult for me to find okay, what's the thing that's going to get them back? Don't specialize in burnout or helping teachers find another job, because I really hope they don't leave the profession. But at the same time, I definitely understand finding your niche that may be outside of the classroom, because that's what I did. I don't fault anyone for that. I feel like there is, I don't know, a guilt that comes along with being a teacher, and that if you try to do something and think outside of the norm K-12 classroom, that they're going to look down on you like you're a sellout or something, or you're not doing what's best. And that's not true either.
No, I think that age-old saying, if you can't pour from an empty bucket, comes into massive play here. Like, you can only give so much until enough is enough, and you have to look out for yourself, because at the end of the day, no one else is going to look out for you, and you've got to take care of yourself. I was actually reading an article the other day, and I think it was from the States, where it was one district had over 50% of their teachers put in for early retirement. And I was like, holy smokes. That was just shocking to me. Another article I read, that Google algorithms or whatever it was, said that there was an increase in the question, what else can I do with a teaching degree? And I was like, So it's just, it's not good headlines to see as a teacher.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot in my feeds, like on TikTok, I'm seeing a lot of teachers who are like talking about why they quit their job and what they're doing now and how they're doing these other things. And, but also I caught yesterday a really interesting video from a superintendent who said, what I'm taking off your plate. That was like the text on the screen. And this was a superintendent who was literally getting rid of things that teachers had to do that stress out teachers, like their evaluation. We're not doing that this year. They're realizing how bad it is and that they have to do something. And I honestly think that is the next big thing, is what are all these administrators going to do? I live in North Texas, and got another alert last night. Our ninth superintendent in the DFW area is leaving. I mean, the big schools, Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, like huge
schools. Yeah, those are massive. Those are huge schools.
Yeah. Dallas is one of the largest school districts in the nation. And that superintendent is stepping down. Fort Worth is stepping down. Like, it was almost every day now I'm getting a notification. So the superintendents are under tremendous pressure too. It's not a job, I would have ever wanted, but I can't imagine. So looking at it from all sides, it's a mass crisis. And I really don't know what's going to happen. So I guess kind of circling back to what are teachers looking for right now, I think they're just looking for survival. And that's what I've always tried to focus on, is practicality. Here's something you can do tomorrow. Here's a tip that's going to save you clicks or time or whatever it is. I mean, that has always been my way of getting teacher buy-in with teachers who were resistant to technology. Mm-hmm. If I can show you how technology is going to make your life easier as a teacher, then I can get you to listen something that's a little bit deeper and a little bit more meaningful. So that's still what I'm trying to do. But I realize that so many teachers don't have time for that at the moment, and they're clicking delete on the emails, or they're skipping the podcast because they just can't handle it. You know, I totally understand that.
Okay. And going back to your original statement of the educational community, such a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of support, what a way for you to sit here with me and for us to sit here and be like, we understand, we resonate, we connect with it, and it's valid. I know a lot of, and going back to that guilt a little bit, I know a lot of my personal friends have guilt for taking sick days right now. And it's just like, no. You've got to take care of yourself, because how are you supposed to be 100% with your students if you are not personally 100%?
Right. And I don't know what's happening over where you are, but the domino effect of everything right now, of course, they keep saying that we've kind of hit our peak where I'm located, but I don't think they can really say that just yet. But in terms of the sick out, you know, it's the teachers are sick, the students are sick, and these schools are just holding things together with a thread. What's happening is, you know, every teacher there is losing their lunch, they're losing their off period, and they're having to watch like six classes in the gym, which means there's no teaching going on, there's no learning going on, it's babysitting. We are trying to get the rest of the world to stop seeing us as babysitters that are paid for by the government. That I definitely understand the need to keep kids in school, but also at some point that version of school is not worthwhile either.
Exactly. Because then you have to ask the question, what experience are you wanting for your child or for your student in school? And that brings up a whole nother list of questions. So Casey, for teachers who are wanting to save a little bit of time with less clicks or a really cool tech tool, I use Google Forms because of your course, and you showed me how to make them into QR codes, and it's saved everything in my life because I teach so many students as a specialist. What would be something that you tell most of your teachers out there? Go try this. It works across the board.
Well, I create what I call the quick tip of the week every week. I talk about it on the podcast, and then I create a YouTube video and then a abbreviated TikTok version of it every week. So almost every single one of those are some kind of Google tip. Those are just those little things, you know, those things that I teach in courses or those things that I teach in a workshop or at a conference when everybody's like, what? I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest tips that's really changed how I operate because I'm working in Chrome nonstop and learning how to set up Chrome profiles and switch between my multiple Google accounts was probably one of the best tips that I ever learned.
Oh, tell us more. Tell us more. Because that's something I struggle with constantly. I've got 5 profiles and I never know where anything is saved anymore.
One of the things that most people started doing, and Google's made it harder to do it this way, but several years ago, when let's just say I had my school account and my personal account. Casey really has like 20 accounts, but let's just start simple. We'll have like 2. And, you know, I would forget which one I was in at the time. You know, if I was creating a new slide deck, oh, I created that in my personal account. It needs to be in my school account. Or the worst part is when someone shares something with you and you click on it and then you get that you don't have permission and you think there's something wrong with it, but your Chrome thinks you're in your other account and you don't have permission. And so people started doing that add account thing up at the top right where you could see and thought that that was the right way to do it. And it's better now, but the best way to manage those multiple Google accounts is to set up Chrome profiles. And in Chrome, near the top right, you should see either your picture or maybe just your initial if you never uploaded a picture to the Google account. And that's where you'll see if you have other profiles set up or where you can add them and sync them. So with every Google account I have a different set of bookmarks. I have a different set of preferences in Chrome. I usually use a different theme. So they're different colors. In fact, I think Chrome does that for you now. So they look different. I can have my personal Gmail open and my ShakeUp Learning Gmail open in 2 different windows. And they're not going to get mixed up because those are connected to different profiles. And that is hands down one of the best things I've learned. And really one of those I've created, I don't know, 2 or 3 YouTube videos of that over the years because, you know, obviously the steps kind of change. Yeah. But that's been one of the number one things that people have thanked me for or sent to their teachers when their teachers are like, I keep getting that I don't have permission or I click on this and that whole thing. Like send them that video. The biggest thing is kind of a longer video because I want people to clean up the mess first so they don't repeat it. And a lot of people are like, this is too long. I'm like, just do it. Just trust me.
Sure. And it really, and when your school is a Google school, you know, as well as I know, as well as any teacher, the amount of documents you have is insane.
Yes.
And so then when you try to go through, let's say, a personal one, a school one, a business one, several personal ones. Holy moly. I have a template for my podcast and I must have it in at least 5 different places because I lose it every time.
Have you been doing the profile thing?
No, I just took notes. I'm going to do it right after this.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. It's probably not the easiest tip, but it's definitely one of the most time-saving tips, I think.
Well, isn't our jobs all about saving time? I always say if I can save a second now, it'll save me an hour later. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Casey. Casey, you've done so much lately. You've working, you're going through the pandemic, changing how you relate with people, changing what you're creating with people. What have you learned from the pandemic thus far?
So one of the things that I have been speaking to over the last couple of years are a lot of the changes that we've needed in education for years became top of mind suddenly, but also that, of course, this crisis presents us with this opportunity to make improvements in education that we've needed for a long time and not to skim over it. You know, I've watched schools try to do that and try to go back to what they think is normal. And I've said since the beginning, normal is not coming back. That this is a pivotal moment in the world, in every business, but definitely in education. You know, remote learning, distance learning, whatever you want to call it, it's not going away. And it wasn't even new. It was just new to a lot of face-to-face teachers. We may have other things that come up because we've learned from this experience. Okay, maybe it's not the COVID virus, but maybe we've just got a new strain of the flu, because we've all been through different things that have come through, not at this caliber, but, you know, where, okay, we've got too many kids out and we need to switch to remote to keep kids from getting sick. I definitely see that as being part of our future. And I think that teachers that hate remote learning will need to embrace some pieces of it. But I also, the biggest thing that I hope schools begin to do, and I am seeing some do this, is to divide the roles. That a face-to-face teacher is not an online teacher. Those are two different jobs, two different skill sets, two different job descriptions. And I've even had a teacher on the podcast who was hired last year specifically to be an online teacher. And I think that's the direction we need to go. Some parents loved it. Some parents want that flexibility. You know, they want to be able to do that and to have their kids. And some kids thrive in that environment. Some kids do not. But that's what's great about it, because we can offer diverse learning environments that will work for a variety of students. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to reach all learners. I am a type of student who can learn in that online environment, but I also know my niece hates it, you know, and bless her heart. She was in her sophomore year of college when everything went online, and she absolutely hated every moment of it. And it has ruined her college experience in the process. So don't get me wrong, that there's a place and a time, but I think that this is part of that opportunity that we have before us, is to see what the future can have and how we can make the most of this, because there are skills that teachers have learned on the fly that are amazing. I mean, teachers donned their superhero capes, they jumped in, they learned how to use things. And guess what? That works in a blended environment as well. It's not an either or thing. And I think that's part of burnout, is just the negativity wanting to see it as black and white. And it's not black and white, it's gray. And there's so much overlap. And, you know, at the very beginning of the pandemic, actually really before it hit the US, I had a teacher on my podcast, Jennifer Pearson. She was in China when it broke out, and she was in the remote learning situation as a teacher over there at an international school with her own children at home. And she reached out to me and she said, "Casey, everything that the people in the US are talking about is not going to work. Like, you've got to listen to what's happening over here." And so I had her on the podcast, and one of the first things she said is, "Grace is greater than grades." Wow. That was a huge point. And I feel like now it's like, grace is greater than everything. Like, the animosity that is out there from the communities and from parents pointing fingers and trying to blame teachers, and teachers feeling like nobody supports them, is terrible. And so we have to give each other grace. It's hard. It's hard for a parent, you know, to try to juggle when you've got a job and you've got kids, and suddenly you've got no place to put those kids and those types of things. So it's been hard on everybody. And I think that we just have to continue with that mindset, to be grateful that we've gotten this far, what we've learned, how we can use that in the future, and to give everyone a little bit of grace, and really just to stop the negative talk. It doesn't help.
Again, reading a different article, or maybe it was actually a story. It was about, how are you so positive? And it was definitely a story. It was about this character saying, "How are you so positive? You're always chipper. You're always happy." And he says, "Because I feed the positive being inside me more than the negative one." It's very powerful, where it just shows that we have to be positive in our own right for that to come through. Here at Chadwick International, we have a saying, we lead by example. And I always go in the classroom with, what kind of example am I showing the kiddos today? Am I going to be positive? If I'm going to try to make the best of this, am I going to be very empathetic? Am I going to be very sympathetic? Am I going to be very vulnerable? I'm going to be a mixture of all of it and show them that, yes, I'm still a real human. Yes, I do get sick. Yes, we're still here. Yes, we're going to make it through. It may look a little different, but we're going to work together and make this happen. And I'm hoping that example lasts longer than just a music lesson, because hopefully that example of perseverance and overcoming struggles shows them that it can look different ways.
Absolutely. And that's a bigger life lesson than any of these little things. And that's the number one group that is being affected by all of this that we sometimes tend to forget is just what these kids have been through, yeah. You know, being cut off and the socialization. I'm sure we're going to have all kinds of research and things to tell us what we've done to these children over the last 2+ years. But, you know, I have a pandemic baby that can't go to a lot of places because they're not doing things for little kids anymore. And there's so much cut off and they can't see people's faces because they're all covered with masks. So they're missing out on some of those social interactions. And I mean, it just goes up and up and up. And of course, there's so many people fighting in the news over, you know, whatever it is, politics and masks and everything else. But we really just want to come back to, again, that idea of grace for our students, for our parents, for ourselves, and, you know, help us to get through this and we'll figure it out. We just need to have a little positivity to get through this.
Casey, while we wrap up here on Recess Duty, I ask all guests here at the Recess Duty, what do you remember about recess growing up?
In first grade, I was kissed by a boy at recess.
Wow. First grade.
Yes. So I had gone to a private kindergarten. And then when I went to first grade and I went to the big elementary school, so I was kind of the new kid. This was the start of school and, you know, everybody lines up at recess. I don't remember if we were going out or if we were coming back in. And this adorable little boy that I finished high school with, Brian Friddle. I'm sure he doesn't even listen. He's not a teacher. So, but Brian was a little boy and, you know, girls tend to grow faster at that age. So I was quite a bit taller than him. And all I remember was standing in line and somebody taps me on the shoulder and I turn around and he jumps and kisses me because he had to jump to reach me. And that's probably one of my most memorable moments, besides, you know, getting pushed out of the swing or whatever else.
Yeah. Well, that would be a memorable moment for sure for first grader. Holy cow.
And it is totally innocent. I know it sounds like he was little peck, but he was just one of those. He was the little boy in the class that was, you know, the boyfriend of like all the girls. He was just the big flirt. That was just how he rolled. So,
Casey, how can people find you? Where can people find you if they want to continue learning with you and to connect with you?
Sure. Yeah. You can find me pretty much as Shake Up Learning everywhere. ShakeUpLearning.com is the blog. That's where you'll find the podcast. You'll find links to my books and my courses and the Google Certification Academies. And of course, you can find me on social media as Shake Up Learning. I'm mostly active on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, and I have a Facebook page. But occasionally you'll find me popping up in some other ones. There's only so many I can be a part of.
I understand the struggle. I am nowhere near as out there as you are, but I understand the struggle. Thank you so much, Casey, for coming to this week's episode of Recess Duty. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our next episode. I'm Levi Allison, and I hope you have a great day of learning, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, all.
Thank you for listening to Recess Duty. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, please share this podcast with other educators so they can join the fun. And that is the end of our Recess Duty.